ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we're reading from the sixth canto, the third chapter, the 34th verse. Correct? Is that right? Yeah. Announcements. Anyone who did not get 6 hours of steady sleep last night is excused from the class. Go take rest for an hour. Don't fall asleep in class. Get some good rest. Your health, number one. Your sadhana, number two. And your seva, number three. That's not me, that's Srila Prabhupada's order. Okay, so anybody, don't feel embarrassed because you're up late last night. If you need to take rest, please, with our blessings, get some rest. And if you end up falling asleep in class, if anyone falls asleep in class, please, the person next to them, do not wake them up. Let them sleep. Agreed? This class will end at 9 o'clock. Itam svabhat sabartha gaditam bhagavan mahitvam shamsritya vishmita diyo yama chinkarash te naiva Jyutasraya Jnanam Pratikshan Kanmana Drastum Cha Bibhyati Tataha Babriti Sma Rajan. We are following the protocol that was used during Srila Prabhupada's presence with us in his Vapu. We would read word by word. Then I, as the speaker, will attempt to pronounce the lines line by line without your repetition, and then I will ask for your repetition. Itam svabartir gatitam bhagavan mahitvam. Samsritya vishmitya didyo yamakin karaste naivam chiyatasraya gyanam ajanam pratishankan mana drastum chabidyati tata babriti smarajan. Itam svabritri gatitam bhagavan mahitvam samsmrityam vismita diyo yamakin taraste naiva chiyutasraya janam pratishan kasmana. Drastum cha bivate tata babriti smarajan. Itam svabritri katitam bhagavan mahitvam. Samsmritya vishmita diyo yamakin karaste. Naiva chiyatasraya janam pratishan kamana. Drastum chavidyati tata bharitis marajan. Mataji. Itam, of such power. Svabhrichigaditam, explained by their master Yamaraj. Bhagavat Mahitvam, the extraordinary glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and His name, fame, form, and attributes. Samsmritya, remembering. Vishmita Diyaha, whose minds were struck with wonder. Yamakinkaraha, all the servants of Yamaraj. Te, they. Na, not. Eva, indeed. Achucha Ashraya Janam, a person sheltered by the lotus feet of Achutya, Lord Krishna. Pratishan Kamanaha, always fearing. Drastum, to see. Cha, and. Bibhyati, they are afraid. Tataha bhavriti, beginning from then. Sma, indeed. Rajan, O King. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Aki Jai. After hearing from the mouth of their master about the extraordinary glories of the Lord and His name, fame, and attributes, the Yamadutas were struck with wonder. Since then, as soon as they see a devotee, they fear him and dare not look at him again. purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Since this incident, the Yamadutas have given up the dangerous behavior of approaching devotees. For the Yamadutas, a devotee is dangerous. Om Agyana Tanvarnasya Ganakana Shalakaya Chakshunitam Jainatasmai Shri Grev Namaha. I offer my humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, who's opened my eyes, blinded by the darkness of ignorance, with the torchlight of knowledge. In preparing to speak to you about this verse, I did some research, which I'll share with you in a minute, but first a couple of personal stories about the Yamadutas. I had one very wonderful lady who met Srila Prabhupada in 1970. We called her later on Prabhupada Leela. She never took initiation, but she was so dedicated to distributing Prabhupada's books that even in her late 80s, lying in the convalescent home, she would have a stack of books by the side of her bed, and anyone who would come to see her, any other patients, any nurses, any doctors, anyone at all, she would attempt to distribute one of Srila Prabhupada's books. And interestingly enough, one of her favorite stories was the story of Ajamil. She was a very intelligent woman, having been previously in the Church of Religious Science, which has many similarities to the Eastern philosophies, reincarnation and karma, particularly emphasized in that teaching. And so it was one day that I went to visit her. She was staying not so far from the New Dwarka Temple in Los Angeles. And as I came in the room, her eyes were wide and excited, even though she was very close to death, very ill. She says, "Nishringananda, you won't believe who I saw last night." I said, "Oh, you had some visitors." "Oh my God, did I have visitors?" She said, "I was amazed when these awful, wretched creatures came in my room. They were horrible. They were the Yamadutas. They looked just like the pictures in the Bhagavad Gita." I said, "Wow, it's amazing. The Yama—" I know, I was, what am I going to say? I don't have that experience. It was just, it's amazing. She says, "But that's not that's the small part of it." She said, "These two beautiful creatures came in, and they told the Yamadutas it wasn't my time yet, and to leave me alone." She said, and then she looked at me very intently with these beautiful eyes that spelled youth in them, although her body was so aged. She said, "It's all just as Prabhupada told us. It's exactly as he told us," she said. "I've seen it now." Even now, thinking about it, it's an emotional moment for me, because most of the time I'm following this bhakti yoga through buddhi yoga, you know, yoga of the intelligence. Prabhupada gave the example of intelligence. What is intelligence? One non-devotee asked Prabhupada. And Prabhupada answered the question with an example. He said, "When you go to the top of a building and you look over the edge and the mind says, 'Jump,' the intelligence says, 'Don't.'" That's how he answered the question. So usually I'm using my intelligence, not my bhakti, in following the principles. I think a lot of us do that because we're just in the beginning stages. But she saw. she experienced. And it was even more than that movie Ghost that was very popular with Patrick Swayze in the lead role of a guy who dies, but he communicates with his beloved because he doesn't know how to say I love you in life, so he has to learn how to say it in death. And in that movie there were scenes of the Yamadutas. And they were exactly as Prabhupada described. The person, the screenwriter or the director, must have read Srila Prabhupada's descriptions of the Yamadutas. And it was from that experience, you know, that I... Oh, well, someone has some other... You know, other people have experience also. But then when Prabhupada Leela Devi, when she told me this, then I started to correlate it with other stories that I've heard from different devotees who've actually seen these creatures, these Yamadutas, and now a person who's seen the beautiful Vishnudutas. And it got me to wondering when I read this verse, what are the Yamadutas? They have fear. They're fearing a devotee. What does that mean? Who are these people? What are they like? I mean, they are also bhaktas, is it not? They're serving Dharmaraj. But are they perfected beings? Who are the Yamadutas? What kind of people are they? So I decided, for the purpose of this class, since it's such a short purport, I better do some research or I'm going to run out of words to speak in the class. And when you think like that, immediately you go to the Veda base and you begin to read Prabhupada's words to see if he can inspire you. And as I was reading Prabhupada's words, I began to understand much more the Yamadutas. So who would like to understand about not just what are Yamadutas, but who are the Yamadutas? Are we game? Would you like to explore that with me? Because to explore that, I have to read to you what Prabhupada says about it in different places. So I picked out some selections, which I think will give a far more descriptive summary than I could ever give you. Because Prabhupada is speaking from realization. I'm speaking from what? From hearing, but it goes in the ear holes. It doesn't go down too far. Now, Srila Prabhupada is giving this. So I'm going to embark on that task with your permission. Everyone like to hear how Prabhupada describes these people? Because guess what? You've met them before. They're not so unfamiliar, actually. So I picked out... Since we in the West, we I speak for any person not born in Bharat Varsh, you know, our births are considered very inauspicious. I mean, there's certain Brahmin classes that if someone leaves the boundaries of Bharat Varsh, they're considered contaminated. Might as well not even talk to those people. But here's what Prabhupada speaks about that issue. Since we, no doubt, have had to become surrendered to the clutches of these very wretched, as Prabhupada describes it, personalities. But Prabhupada said, so this Krishna conscious movement we're pushing on, not that they are Europeans, sama sarvesha bhuteshu, they cannot take to this religion. No, this is the andakupa, the anda. Anda kantander upanyamanaste pishatantya uru damni badaha. Such a class of men, meaning me, are subject to the punishment by the Yamadutas. Otherwise, pandita samadarshanaha. Pandita, they should be equal, Krishna says. So everyone has the right to go home back to Godhead. Krishna says, ye pishu papa yonanya. Never mind, he's born in sinful family. That's all right, but he's got the right to go back to Godhead. And who will take up the work? If everyone's got the right to go back home, back to Godhead, and by taking to Krishna consciousness, mamhe partha vyapishritya, Krishna says, everyone has that right. Then who will teach them how to go home, back to Godhead? teach my computer to stay on.
I'm not sure.
Bear with me 1 second. So, this is Prabhupada's position, and this is how Prabhupada is teaching me humility. All my hard work and effort has just disappeared, but let us see if it comes back on again. So, the fact that we have all had experience, but we forget that experience, is now being given to us in this form of understanding it from the scripture and from the guru, Mahabhagwat. And in that way, we begin to be able to make some intelligent decisions, hopefully. Okay? Anyone who's taken birth in India, if he's a man, if he's a dog, a cat, what is his duty? First of all, awaken your own Krishna consciousness. Go out. People are in darkness. They've forgotten Krishna. And my dear mind, you are thinking you become a very good Vaishnav and chanting Hare Krishna, imitating Haridas Thakur. This imitation has no value. My Guru Maharaj, he condemned it. So, our requests to all you foreigners, you've learned something about Krishna consciousness. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. And although he expected that every Indian should go out for Parupakara, but anyway, you take this mission, you go everywhere in every corner. Now, let's see how this relates to the Yamadutas. So, there are two parties, the Yamaduta and the Bhagavad Duta. Those are the Vishnu Dutas. And this human life, this is the junction. Which way to go? To go to hell, and Bhagavad Duta means to go to Vaikuntha. So life is that junction. Now, they listen to the words of the Yamaduta very carefully, these Bhagavad Dutas. Not haphazardly. No, they listened. Their reason for everything. This man was like this. He must be carried to Yamaraj, to punishment. And why the punishment, Prabhupada says? The punishment is to make him purified. Punishment is required. That's nature's law. Suffering, Prabhupada says, is not bad. To become purified. And therefore, when a devotee suffers, he does not take it lightly. He thinks, I am being purified. I am being purified. You all heard this from different devotees, but here it is directly from Prabhupada, 1975. Now, then Prabhupada goes on, and these are different selections. We've been discussing Ajamil's Upakanya after finishing the speeches by Yamaduta. Now, Yamaraj is one of the appointed officers, the Mahajans. He's one of the Mahajans. He's a Vaishnav. And his thankless task is that he has to punish all these sinful people for sinful activities. Just like a superintendent of police, he's also a government officer, responsible officer, respectful, supposed to be, servant of the government. Although I just read that there was one at a police hospital. One policeman assaulted another policewoman while she was being treated in a police hospital. So, obviously these policemen are not so pure either. And that's what I found was so interesting in looking at who are these Yamadutas. You will see when I read, these Yamadutas are not unsimilar to the police officers. They also have their human frailties. What are those weaknesses? To make mistakes, to become illusioned. They have the four qualities. They are not pure devotees, as Yamaraj is. They are officers of the court. And as officers of the court, they also make mistakes. So, the first thing to understand is when the Yamadutas come, they are just like police officers. taking someone away to jail. Now, they were certain that Amajil was the most sinful man. And they made their case to the Yamadutas, very as they understood it. But because the Yamadutas are not from this world, they are not demigods, they are not heavenly beings, they are Vaikuntha men. They are completely 100% transcendental. So this distinction has to be understood. And therefore, they are far more intelligent than conditioned souls. The Yamadutas, if you didn't know it already, are conditioned souls. So they had to learn something and surrender to the Vishnudutas. The order carriers of Yamaraj, being very much aggrieved because of their defeat by the four Vishnudutas, they wouldn't be aggrieved if they were fully Krishna conscious. They would accept. But no, they were aggrieved. And they wanted to bring these Vishnudutas before Yamaraj. And if possible, even punish them. So they didn't even recognize the Vishnudutas, although they said they were beautiful, they didn't recognize them as pure devotees. Then it says, otherwise, the Yamadutas wanted to commit suicide. So before, because they felt so bad, either we're going to bring these guys to Yamaraj, or our honor is at stake. You know, like the Japanese, their honor is so strong, they commit harikari, they commit suicide. So this was their nature. This is their nature. Very honorable people, but not the smartest brains in the room. So they wanted to know about these Vishnudutas from Yamaraj, who's also omniscient. Because why? Yamaraj knows past, he knows present, and he knows future. So that's why sometimes he's called Bhagavan Duta, because he has that omniscience quality. So Prabhupada says here, the Vishnudutas are coming from Vaikuntha, so beautiful, so nicely dressed, four-handed, with ornaments and helmet and garland. They carry a fresh garland wherever they go. And they have experience of the demigods, but the Vishnudutas are not of this material world. Now, the Yamadutas, Prabhupada said, never saw such persons with four hands. So this was the first time for these particular two Yamadutas that they experienced the Vishnudutas. And they were criticizing them. The Yamadutas were saying, why are you interfering? They didn't know who they were. And they also did not know that whatever action is taken by the representative Vishnu, it's not an unnecessary interference. That's an actual fact, Prabhupada says here. Therefore, the Vishnudutas are smiling. These Yamadutas, without knowing our position, they're trying to criticize us. So they're smiling. Prahasya, prahasya. Just like if a child speaks something to a learned man, he smiles. So the Vishnudutas, they were smiling hearing these Yamadutas. Now, Prabhupada in another lecture says, just like a police constable is supposed to know the law and whom to arrest, if he arrests anyone and everyone, then he's a fool. He cannot arrest everyone and everyone. He cannot arrest a law-abiding man, unless, of course, they're corrupt, which we all have experience of, especially if you drive in the streets of Mumbai. So similarly, the Yamadutas, they also cannot take away to court of Yamaraj everyone and anyone. Only the non-devotees are taken. And those who are devotees, they are not taken. That is, you'll find in the Bhagavad, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yamaraj especially instructs that quote, those who are Vaishnavs, you should not go there. You should offer your respects to them. Somebody asked me, Prabhupada speaking, Swamiji, why these Tulsi beads in your neck or on your devotee's neck? And so I replied, just like a pet dog has a collar. Similarly, we are pet dogs of God. We've got this collar. And Yamaraj, he will understand that he is God's dog. He should not be shot down. This is a Prabhupada. So here is an explanation by the Yamadutas. The Yamadutas were not very advanced. So far their position was there. They were very odd looking and not to be supposed to be very civilized. They were rather uneducated. I was thinking when I was looking at the picture of the Yamadutas of some of these big demons that are on the planet or have been on the planet, you know, like Gaddafi, Muhammad Gaddafi. Do you ever see a picture of him? He's repulsive. I mean, you look at the man, you see him as a demon. Why? You know, we're reading the face. The face is the index of the mind. Or, you know, people like Saddam Hussein. Doesn't he look like Ravana that's portrayed in so many of these plays? You know, with that big mustache and that, his whole ambiance. People look like demons who are demons. They're given those demon bodies. Of course, there's exceptions. But still, the exceptions prove the rule. So Prabhupada's saying like this, that these are not very well educated people, these Yamadutas. And they're not very civilized. And then Prabhupada says, how are they explaining about Dharma? Because the challenge is, if you're the servants of Dharmaraj, then you have to explain what is Dharma. It doesn't matter whether a man is civilized or uncivilized, or good-looking or bad-looking. But if he has the proper guide, then he can speak the right thing. And this is Yamaraj Uchaha, that they're not manufacturing anything. They're saying it is Iti Shushruma. We've heard it from our master, Iti Shushruma. And this is knowledge. They're not expected to manufacture something speculative. They are neither educated nor civilized. Nothing of the sort. But they're talking of the source of religion and how they've heard it from authority. And who is that authority for them? That's Yamaraj. And therefore they want to take these Yamadutas and bring them to the court of Yamaraj to confirm or deny this issue of Dharma, which they didn't quite remember enough. They weren't intelligent enough to make the argument and accept the argument, the counter-argument that the Vishnudutas made to them. So, therefore, according to their description, Prabhupada says they're third class, fourth class, they're not even human beings, these Yamadutas. Does this give you a little bigger, a better idea of when you're reading about the Yamadutas of what you're dealing with? Because for me all these years, I'm thinking of the Yamadutas as, you know, great servants of Yamaraj, very elevated beings. But they're not. They don't know half of what you know. They don't know a quarter or a tenth or a fifth of what you know already. And if they come to your bed and you say, Hare Krishna, they say, well, we're going to take you to Yamaraj, you can argue, you cannot do that. You can tell them if you're not, your teeth aren't shaking too much by seeing these people. So what is ordered in the Vedas, Prabhupada says? This is Dharma, that is religion. And what is the Vedas? Narayan's words are the same as the Vedas. There's no difference. Why are we interested? Because the Bhagavad Gita and the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, they're identical. You cannot change the words of the Bhagavad Gita. I'm going to repeat that. You cannot change the words of the Bhagavad Gita. That means you cannot change the words of the
person Bhagwat.
I'm going to repeat that one more time. You cannot change the words of the person Bhagwat. Just like you can't change Krishna's words. Prabhupada says, this is foolishness. Anyone who changes the orders and the words of Bhagavad Gita, they are rascal. They'll not get any benefit because you cannot correct Krishna. Of course, we see the story of Mother Yashoda, and she's trying to correct Krishna's behavior. But that's a whole different leela, a whole different pastime. She doesn't even realize who Krishna is. You cannot correct Krishna. What Krishna says or God says, that is not in your power. So these rascals, they want to interpret. This is like this, and this is like that, and I think it's like this. No, Krishna did not leave for you, for your thinking, rascally. Krishna is completely learned. Whatever he said, it's perfect. You cannot change it. I'll let you extrapolate from what I'm saying in terms of your own experience. Because it's not just relating to the Mayavads and how they interpret Bhagavad Gita. It's also us. We interpret words of Krishna and Prabhupada's words so many different ways. But to fully understand, you have to see it all in the context. Just like we're now beginning to get underneath who and what are these Yamadutas? What is their position? Without context of studying all the different things Prabhupada says, how is it possible? It's not possible. Just like this issue of sleep. I was there in New York, 1971. Prabhupada was giving lecture right there, Queen Kunti lectures. You know Queen Kunti lectures? She's praying always for more austerity. Give me trouble. Give me suffering. I want to remember you. I can't remember you otherwise. And I'm sitting there. I'm a new bhakta. And I'm listening to these words of my Guru Dev. He's opened the whole world for me now. So everything he says, I'm hanging on every word. And what does he say every day? Eat less. Sleep less. In these lectures. And what do? I don't have any context for this. It's the first time I'm actually hearing him in person in Bhagavatam class. Well, not the first time, it's Detroit. But anyway. So what do? I'm eating less, I'm sleeping less, I'm getting, you know, 3-4 hours of sleep a night, I'm never taking any extra prasad, even when it's offered. We didn't have a lot in those days. And what's happening? I'm getting thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner. I'm losing weight rapidly. I went from 165, 180 pounds, I was a little overweight, to 108. When they finally measured me, it was 108 pounds. That's what kilograms is 50 kilograms. And you know, I had no understanding of the context. I was taking Prabhupada's words just as they were without studying all of the things he said. But we didn't have as much facility to study. So I got so sick that I had to go to the hospital for over a month. It took me completely out of my service. And I didn't even know till 30 years later, 30 years or more later, that Prabhupada had told the temple president, who told me this all these decades later, he said, that boy, he needs to eat more. You make sure he eats more. I didn't know. So, context. I was trying this morning to bring us to some context. Who are these Yamadutas? What is their position? How do we understand them? So that when we perhaps encounter them. We can also say to them, I'm off limits. You see, I got my dog collar on. You can't take me. I'm just waiting here. Vishnu Dutas are due to arrive any second. So the invisible Vishnu Dutas, Krishna, Prabhupada says, the invisible Vishnu Dutas, they're always everywhere. So we think, oh, they have to come from the spiritual world. No, Prabhupada says they're always everywhere. Just like police constables. The Amadutas are there, and the Vishnu Dutas are also there. Civil guard and the police constables. Both are there. So the Amadutas' business is to arrest the sinful. You know how Prabhupada says to us, just follow these four regulated principles. That is living a pure life, Prabhupada said. Only four. So gambling, not a problem, really. Mental speculation, not so much of a problem once you come to a certain level of realization. Intoxication, not big problem. Even in the beginning, the devotees, Brahmananda and Umapati and the first devotees, it wasn't a big problem. Third, no meat eating, not such a big problem. Giving up steaks and the hamburgers and so on and so forth. And for you, even easier. But number four, when Prabhupada put that up on the board, no illicit sex, what did devotees say? Oh, Prabhupada, we can't do that. That's impossible. This no illicit sex is impossible for us. You have to take that off the list, they told him. Prabhupada said, no. Why? These are the pillars of pure life, living a purified life. These are the pillars that keep the Yamadutas from taking the soul. Because even if we're not 100% Krishna conscious, still we're living a pure life. So Prabhupada says here, here everyone is sinful. Nobody is free from sin. This is the position of the material world. So the Yamadutas are searching or taking away. And just after leaving this body, one's taken away by the Yamadutas to the place of Yamaduta. So those who are very sinful, they're dragged through the hot desert. They fall down, and such persons fall down in the desert. The descriptions are there. And sometimes we feel like that. So there is a planet, and the sinful persons are arrested and taken away. And similarly, the Vishnu Dutas are there. Bhutani Vishnu Sura Panchtani. Sura means demigod. The residents of the higher planets, they also respect, they show their obeisances, their respectful obeisances to these assistants, these Vishnu Dutas. And they're very rarely seen because Ajamil was practically the only case who was taken from the clutches of the Yamadutas. A very rare thing. I didn't know that. This is a one-off situation. Doesn't happen. Don't count. In other words, don't count on it. Keep those four regulated principles strong in your life. Keep those Yamadutas away and keep that holy name constantly repeating in your mind. Because as Prabhupada says later on, he says, if you practice when you are alive, when you are strong for chanting the holy name of Krishna or Narayan, then there may be a chance. He doesn't even say it's guaranteed if you practice during your life. Prabhupada says there may be a chance. Otherwise, it's not possible. Not that a layman will all of a sudden will chant, Narayan. No, it doesn't happen like that. Now there's one translation. Ajamil then saw three awkward persons with deformed bodily features. We read this not long ago. Fierce, twisted faces. Hair standing erect on their body. With ropes in their hands. This is how they came. to the abode of, they had come to take him to the abode of Yamaraj. And when Ajamil saw these creatures, he was extremely bewildered. And because only of his attachment to the child, who you may not have realized, but here it is stated, who was playing only a short distance away. He was right there. So he was lucky that his son would happen to be playing in the room. And Ajamil called to him loudly. And thus with tears in his eyes, he somehow or other chanted the holy name of Narayan. But what were those tears? They were tears of fear, not tears of love. And what does Prabhupada say to us? Don't count on it. It's a very unusual circumstance. Prabhupada says, the description of the Yamadutas is there. So he was very afraid and he was attached to his son. So naturally he wanted to call to somebody to save him. So he called to his affectionate son. This is the opportunity. Krishna is so kind upon his devotee that Ajamil was in the beginning a devotee. Later on he fell down. But Krishna was so kind he gave him the dictation, keep your son's name as Narayan. So how was it that Ajamil named his son Narayan? Krishna dictated it. He didn't think of it himself. It was Krishna within the heart. So, and of course Krishna knew future, so he knew he was going to take on this pastime. So, when he was too much afraid of this Yamaraj, I mean, unconsciously he was chanting the holy name of Narayan. Some commentator says that when he chanted Narayan, that all his reaction of sinful life immediately disappeared, and he remembered the real Narayan, because in his boyhood, he was trained up as a Vaishnav by his father. Sometimes we as parents see our sons and daughters not practicing the sadhana bhakti as they go in their 20s and maybe their 30s or 40s. But we've planted that bija. We planted that seed. And it may prove beneficial. It's up to Krishna. But we've done our job as parents. Some of us are more fortunate. Our children are very much engaged. And some of us, like myself, my son is, he's got a website, notthisbody.com. You know, he likes it. But chanting every day, no. Not yet. But perhaps it will come. So that was Krishna's arrangement for Narayan. And although he fell down, this is Prabhupada, from his standard devotional service, he chanted the name of Narayan. And when we are afraid of something and we chant, we call somebody who's very dear. This is very psychological, Prabhupada says. So now let us experience a actual story amongst devotees. Our dear Trivikram Swami was driving in the nighttime in Delhi in a taxi cab. And in the back seat there were two other devotees. And he was turned around talking to them. And there was a truck coming across the road and the cab was going very, very fast. But Trivikram Maharaj didn't notice anything since he wasn't looking, but the two devotees in the back, their eyes began to widen in fear because they saw that this taxi wasn't slowing down and this truck was not clearing the roadway, and they became certain that they were going to crash into the truck. And when Trivikram saw their fear on their faces, he turned around to see what they were looking at, and just as he turned, they were just about to crash into the truck. And so Trivikram immediately shouted, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph! Because he was a Catholic. He was raised Catholic. But the taxi somehow swerved and it missed hitting this truck. So they carried on down the road. Everybody was in complete silence. Why? Because Trivikram was embarrassed that at the moment of the test, he didn't remember Krishna's name. He didn't chant Krishna's name. He called upon his understanding of God from his Catholic day school, you know, school days. So like this, he turned around to his devotee friends. He said, "My God, that conditioning we have is so strong." Here he's been a devotee 30-some years. And as soon as death comes, he's conditioned to think of that. Not think of Krishna's name, but to think of Jesus' name. Well, we also have to think, wow, you know, the time of death. When we were in Padyatra, I was in Gujarat, the elephant that was with us, she was a nice elephant. And we didn't know how to treat her properly. And elephants, when they pass water, they have to stop. Speaking of which, 1 second. So so we would pass the elephant. She would be stopped. Everyone, you know, there'd be a river coming out of the elephant. We'd have to all go around her. So this happened 2-3 times every day. One time, we were passing the elephant, and she finished passing water, and she with her trunk, she grabbed one of the devotees and threw him on the ground. She bucked the mahout off the top of her, and she put her foot on top of this devotee. And he couldn't get up, obviously. Had a, I don't know, tons of elephant, 60 tons, I don't know how much they weigh. So all of us were shocked, you know. We're standing there looking at this devotee, and this devotee is looking up at the belly of this elephant. And the mahout gets up and starts hitting the elephant, you know, on the trunk, you know. And nobody says anything. Nobody says Hare Krishna. Nobody says Krishna, Krishna. Nothing. We're all in shock, you know. And somehow this mahout gets this elephant to lift the foot off the devotee, and the devotee scrambles to safety, you know. Still, everybody's in shock. Nobody knows what to say. So the mahout explained to us later that you can't pass an elephant when they're stopped to pass water. We have to stay behind. Otherwise, it's insulting to the elephant. So from that day forward, every time the devotee stopped to pass some water, we all stopped, you know, praising the elephant. And the elephant from that point on was very nice to everybody. But what a lesson we learned. How, despite all of our years, to remember to chant Hare Krishna at a time of the moment of death, even the death of someone else, but to speak of our own death. So now, to kind of practice this, you know, whenever, you know, you have to kill a mosquito or something, you always say Hare Krishna, you know, Hare Krishna at the time of death, right? Because it's a way of, again, reinforcing our memory. How do we remember Krishna at the time of our passing? Now, I'm going over a little bit, although I did get an extension to 9:10. But I wanted to mention something relative to a comment I made yesterday. Who was here yesterday? I made a comment yesterday in class. Who was here? Oh, not so many. Okay. Yeah, I made a comment that Maharaj had mentioned something about people being supported by the temple, given some stipends, some maintenance. He called it a salary. We have it, by any other name, it's called money. And I made the point that in the situation we're in, you know, if it was a perfect world and you had a perfect king or a perfect manager and they would know how to satisfy all your needs perfectly and they would magically appear with a bar of soap or a tube of toothpaste or, you know, they would set you up with a dental appointment or, you know, a blood test because they were connected with the super soul, well, that's one thing. We don't have that situation. And therefore, I was making the point that, yes, we do give maintenance to people. And we do give people money, even brahmacharis money, for their sundries, their certain needs people have. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because we don't have perfect conditions. We don't have perfect manager. And we acknowledge that we don't have that perfection. So my point yesterday was that we shouldn't look down upon the fact that somebody who may surrender their whole life, like this guy who went to Mayapur, he was making $200 per hour as a consultant. Huge money every year. And he surrendered all of that to go to Mayapur to work on the samadhi, on the new TOVP. And the fact that he's getting provided some maintenance in terms of rent or prasad or whatever, what's the harm? This is, you have to make these decisions as managers. And I don't think that condemning everybody for blanket, each circumstance is different of how the temple manager values somebody's service and what they've given up to do that service. So please, don't accept these blanket statements as, you know, axiomatic, that they should be applied in all circumstances and in all situations. Just like we're understanding the Yamadutas through this analysis and study of context, we have to also understand Prabhupada's instructions in a very broad-minded way. And the other point I made yesterday that was about sleep. You know, we probably have one of the most sleep-deprived societies on the planet. And sleep is necessary for good health. So if you're needing some extra sleep, don't feel ashamed to take that and miss a class, whatever it takes. Talk to your superior, tell my, you know, I'm staying up till 11. I need 6 hours, 6.5 hours of sleep. And it needs to be a steady sleep. Because when sleep, you go into deep sleep. You have to have at least 4 hours of restorative deep sleep. That's not just sleeping during the day, that's a nap. No, deep sleep takes a good, solid 4 hours to restore the body. And when you ask the medical scientists why people have to sleep, they cannot give you an answer. They do not know. My brother-in-law is a sleep specialist. So I know a lot about this. I have sleep apnea myself. Giri Raswami has sleep apnea. He has to take care of it. Uses a machine. I use a machine. Sleep is very important. And I think minimizing sleep and, you know, raising a cane that, well, you should stay awake when you're really, your body is suffering. I beg you all, take care of your health. And get enough sleep. Work it out with your temple authority so that you can have that stretch of quiet and restorative sleep that nobody knows why we need it, but we need it. That's acknowledged. So if there are any questions, we have 1 or 2 minutes. Why did I doubt that Mukesh would ask a question? Oh, comment. Yeah, yesterday, by the way, I didn't have a question. That was a comment. It was not a question. Maharaj said it was a question. I wasn't questioning. I was making a comment.
This is my comment on your comment. The sleep aspect, you have rightly said that we are deprived of sleep because of the timing of the temple schedule. The reason for less sleep will ultimately turn into either stroke or brain hemorrhage. So there are far-reaching effects of insufficient sleep. It is called sleep debt, D-E-B-T, debt. So one who is carrying on the sleep debt will have serious repercussions later on his health.
Yes.
Sleep has to be completed, and everybody's body requirement is different. Somebody can get fresh up within 6 hours, maybe 7 or 8. All depends upon one's constitution, hereditary, and many other factors. So during Bhagavatam class, I see many people dozing off. So what is the use of sitting just to listen and without understanding? So sleep has to be accomplished. Either we sleep earlier at 8 o'clock and get up at 4 o'clock. So sleep has to be taken care of. We see many cases of this paralysis and all that. That is due to insufficient sleep. My one more question. We are chanting Hare Krishna and Hare Rama. So Hare Rama leads to Ayodhya. Hare Krishna leads to Golok.
I don't know where you got that, because Rama in the Hare Krishna mantra has nothing to do with Lord Ram.
Then why we are having the altar of Rama? And we are chanting Hare Rama, focusing on Rama, not Balarama.
Yeah, well, you have... I don't want to be into... You've got to study the meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because anybody who studies this meaning of the mantra understands that the Rama doesn't refer to Lord Ram. And Rama is on this altar for a completely different reason than the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Okay, thank
you. But that's a long... And I like to have things be on time. Actually, Prabhupada's classes never went over 35, 40 minutes, but they put in this class for an hour for some reason. Because you all want to take breakfast now. You haven't eaten anything since you got up, practically. And you probably all, most of you got up at 4. You need to fuel your bodies. So let us go honor prasadam. And thank you very much for tolerating my talk. If you have any more questions, we'll take it personally. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna. I understand.
Class is over. Anybody can go because time. I like to be timely. But anyone wants to stay, you can stay. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, I understand that some devotees remember Krishna even while they are asleep. Is that correct?
How would I know? I have no idea. I'd be speculating. I don't know what they're thinking when they're sleeping. I don't know. It's wonderful if they're dreaming of Krishna. That's wonderful. Well, I don't know. I know this. If they say that, they're dreaming. That's all I know. Class is over.